And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And as I promised, we're going to speak to somebody about what's going on at Darebin Council for Workers. G'day. How are you, Tash?
Good morning, Annie. I'm great. How are you?
Good. And you're the Deputy Secretary of the Australian Services Union, Vic Taz, and you're in the thick of it at Darebin Council. Can you tell us what's going on for the workers?
Sure, thanks. Look, we've been bargaining for quite a long time there. So we started negotiations back in September. We've had three stopworks now because the offer that council has put on the table is really not cutting it for our members. And unfortunately, what we're finding is that council is also reneging on claims that they'd previously agreed to, including some of their own claims, which is a little bit unusual. So pay is a really big issue, but there's also some of your kind of real bread and butter clauses in there that, you know, are really important for an enterprise agreement to have, right, like dispute resolution, that, you know, we cannot reach agreement on.
Can you tell me, because a council covers a lot of workers and the ASU cover a lot of workers, what workers are we talking about?
Yeah, good question. And I should say that this action is all being done in tandem with the ANMF. So they have nurses in maternal child health and immunisation. So this also includes all of them. Our members stretch across every other part of council. So we've got everyone from waste, construction, fleet mechanics, parks and gardens, all of the outdoor kind of worker coverage through to, you know, people who are performing community support work, working with older people in the community, doing home care, all of the backup jobs that exist behind that. So, you know, roster clerks, support workers, that kind of stuff. Libraries, so libraries have really stepped up action. Customer service, so the people that take people's rates, answer the phone when people have got questions. Local laws and traffic enforcement, so the people that come and deal with, you know, the barking dogs, the abandoned cars, through the people, you know, like who are doing, you know, finance, governance, planning roles. Like, it's pretty much everyone across council. Yeah, and I feel like I'm always going to miss someone out when I list.
Yeah,
because it's such a diverse group.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because this is the absolute backbone of a local community, and so the council. We're talking about the business side of the council. Is you said that they actually withdrew some of their own claims? What's that all about?
So I mean, they're saying that. That their financial situation has changed since the start of bargaining. So, I mean, there's some claims that they've withdrawn fairly overtly and obviously and, you know, given some explanation for it, whether we agree with it or not. There's been, you know, a kind of explanation of we are withdrawing this and this is what is happening and this is why. So there was a cluster of claims originally that they had on the table that were additional forms of leave. So leave for people who have grandparent responsibilities or elder care responsibilities or experiencing mental health and have exhausted a whole bunch of their leave. So they withdrew that kind of package off the table fairly early. Or probably, I should say about January. So, you know, it had been some months. And then what we've kind of noticed since then is that, you know, at the moment, like, negotiations have broken down quite a bit. We're still exchanging drafts and other things over email. Is it will get a draft and it will just have things taken out of it. So, for instance, they had a claim to increase the amount of personal leave that can be transferred to another local authority. So if a council worker moves to another council, there's a clause in that agreement that says that up to 20 days of their personal leave can be, you know, transferred over because it's all the same industry, blah, blah, blah. So they had offered to increase that to 40 days and they've just, you know, kind of passed it off as an admin error, which is not true, and just taken that out of the agreement. There's a couple of other things that they've done that with as well, which is really frustrating. It's really difficult when you're in a negotiation environment where people are pissed off already and then you're having to go back to them and say, well, they want you to narrow down your list of issues, but hey, they've just taken this off the table with a pretty bullshit kind of, you know, explanation.
Yeah, yeah. Now, pay is the big issue, that's what you're saying?
Yes, that is one of the big unresolved issues, yeah.
Now, is that because the increments, what are they offering or not offering?
Yeah, so they did an unusual thing and paid people, so their last agreement actually expired on the 30th of June 2022. Mm. They did the unusual thing because we started bargaining a bit late for a whole range of other reasons that I won't get into. But so they did the unusual thing of just paying people an increase, which was 2% or $30 a week. But that was outside of any kind of negotiation. And obviously the cost of living has really put a lot of pressure on members. You know, people like did not get any kind of say about what that increase was going to be. So they have a claim on the table still for that period of 3% or $45 a week. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the first big kind of difference. We're far closer in the second year. It's only like a difference of 0.5% for the second year of in our position. So that's 3% or 3.5%, and then the $45 a week has been agreed. And in the final year, we're still, you know, too far apart, unfortunately. So it's quite a complicated offer that council has put forward. So I might just sort of leave it as that it's a similar kind of thing to the 2% or $35, whereas our members are seeking 3.2 or 45, which in this environment, 3.2%, you know, like that's a bit of a rough, like they feel like that's a pretty big rough kind of compromise to cop as it is.
No, that makes complete sense. And the other issue is overwork.
Yes, that's right. So one of the other really big issues has been that it's been quite a revolving door. At Darabin, there's been a lot of staff leaving. There's a high number of vacancies, and we have tick-tacked backwards and forwards about a clause that picks up on things like workload management, replacements of vacancies and dealing with absences. That one has moved along a bit, and I think, you know, like we're almost there with that one now. But it's, you know, it's been of high concern to members just because they are left short-staffed so frequently.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's interesting. The other thing is, why is there so much bad blood? Well, I mean, because I know what I was going to say. I was going to ask, excuse me, there is a lot of concern in council areas about the support services being outsourced, and I don't know if that's something that's a problem at Darabin, but is the changed financial situation and the bad blood related to some outcome that the council wants that they're not saying? I know that sounds a bit clairvoyant.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good question, and obviously they probably, compared to a lot of councils, do have a lot of service in-house still. So there's little sections that have been, so for instance, the yellow bins that you see down High Street and other kind of main areas, they are already contracted out. Like they pick up the public waste bins and a contractor does that. But pretty much in most other areas of council, like it is directly employed council workers, which is what, you know, obviously we see as a really important employment model to be retained. So that hasn't been overtly said, whether that is part of it. You know, if they're planning that, they haven't said that, and certainly we would be pushing that very hard, and I think the community would be really on board with that, and particularly in a place like Darabin, if there is any kind of attempt to outsource sections of service.
Okay, and the what is the financial changes that they're saying has happened?
Largely what they're putting it down to is an increase in cost around capital expenditure. I'm not going to pretend to be fully across all of their finances. Like it's quite a detailed 300-odd page document that gets put out annually. Mm. But it's the increase in cost around some of those sorts of things. They've got to do a massive IT project, they say, and that is a $35 million cost. There's some other capital expenditure that they've said that they're pulling back on. I mean, that's kind of the explanation that we've been given. So I don't know, like I wouldn't...
No, it's interesting that they want to do something, but it's workers' pay and conditions that have to be assaulted in order to get it.
That is right. And that's certainly how our members feel, is because whilst I think there are some projects, like future projects that have been pulled back on, you know, they still look around their municipality and see really big things going on still. And, you know, people really question that, and rightly so. Or, you know, like that they have kept communities afloat during really difficult periods. You know, look at the pandemic and all of that. Like, why isn't there that kind of investment back in them? And they are often the most stable people in a council, is the workers on the ground doing the frontline jobs. And that is particularly true of a place like Darebin, where we've seen a lot of senior leaders leave. We've had an HR department turnover entirely in the course of bargaining. So I think the people that we started with, there's nobody left. There's one person who was there for maybe like a couple of months, like in or something.
Wow.
Like it's quite off the chart sort of stuff. So, I mean, this isn't uncommon to some degree in some councils, but it is definitely a more extreme version at Darebin. And it's not, I don't think it's helping the process in terms of coming back to your question about why the bad blood. I think some of it is just that management of that kind of stuff is really difficult when it's fractured like that. But again, it is workers bearing the brunt of that and having to re-prosecute arguments and that sort of thing that, you know, just should have been left alone.
Well, that's fascinating because, I mean, I have had word that HR, employees in HR are at a premium at the moment, and obviously the ones who are at Darebin found finer, you know, greener pastures. But to try and negotiate in that kind of condition is really difficult, I imagine.
It is, because we had things that we thought were very bedded down with one of the people that we started the process with, and, you know, yeah, that has not carried through in terms of consistency. And I don't even mean like, you know, the big ticket items where that we mentioned earlier. It's not that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, the basics, but it's the really time-consuming stuff. But again, it's really difficult coming back to workers and saying, well, you should cop this because they just happen to have a different person at the table. Because, yeah, like we just need to get this, we're getting to a point of like we need to get this done, and you can't keep talking about the same things over and over. But it's really not okay.
Wow, that's really terrible for you people. I mean, it's a long time, the 30th of June 2022 to now. It's actually a long time.
It really is. And obviously, you know, the concern that we imagine now that people are having is that, what's the 22nd of July today, people would do another pay rise. And, you know, we've got people who are doing it hard. You know, what happens then is like, you know, I think council is trying to wear them down, and that's not okay.
No, it's not okay. In fact, what happened on Friday? Because there was a meeting.
So, yeah, we had a third stop work with members. We did this one jointly with the ANMF, which was great. So members came together from both unions and have endorsed a couple of kind of steps going forward. So members have endorsed continuing to fight on, which is great. There's no backing down there. They have endorsed a rally that we're going to hold out the front of the council meeting that is this Monday night at 5. So I'll pass on the details to that if that's all right, Annie.
Yep.
And a couple of other steps which, you know, like we'll be looking at just to kind of, I guess, make some of what's been happening there a bit more public. So some of this has been very under the radar, and I think that's kind of suited council, you know, like they've tried to keep some of this very quiet, which again is quite different for what we see in lots of other councils when there's industrial action going on. And we've had a real step up of industrial action across local government over the last, you know, 18 months or so, and, you know, largely pushing back against like crappy wage offers and that kind of thing. I lost my train of thought then for a second.
Yeah, but but they're not going to step down. They're not going to.
No, they're not. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there's a number of other things that we want to do to try and like make this a bit more visible publicly. Like we think that the community does care about these things. Ratepayers should care about these things in terms of where their money's going. But it is other members of the community that end up bearing the brunt of this stuff as well when, you know, services are disrupted and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is, it's the front line of service, the council, and what's going on there and running an efficient operation that services the people in the community is really important. And as you say, it's a broad range of people that are affected, the nurses and the support staff and the librarians and the people at the depots and all those kind, and the maintenance workers, all of them. I mean, they're all up in arms. The difference between what the councillors know and what the business side of council knows?
Look, we've written to councillors. We're going to be doing that again, and we've got some questions that are lined up, or we will be lining up for the council meeting on Monday. Unfortunately, none of them responded to the last letter that we sent, so we put something in around when council was doing their budget process, and they have to do a community engagement work around that. So we put something in on behalf of our members saying, you know, these are some of the concerns that we had, and are they aware of things like, you know, contractors being used as scab labour and that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, none of them responded, so it's a little bit hard to tell, to be honest. So, yeah, we'll be contacting them again, and we'll be attending on Monday. So, I mean,
They're
going to have to be answered.
Yeah, so that's Monday, July the 24th, and it's at 5 p.m, and it's at the Preston Civic Centre, Preston Town Hall, 274 Gower Street. They're getting a lot of attention when you consider what's going on in general to council workers across.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. And look, and it's a very public location. You get a lot of people going by in that spot. The last two stop works before Friday was held there. There's a lot of public visibility, a lot of public support when we go and do stuff out there. So, welcome people. Yeah, please come along. Please come along. If you're a resident, you can lodge a question before 12 p.m. If you jump on council's website, you can jump on there, lodge a question, up to three questions per person. Any member of the public can. If you have concerns about what's going on, like, please jump on there and do that. And I believe it will be a hybrid meeting, so if people can't attend in person, there is a way to attend online. And I think we've got some details in that flyer that you might have about who to talk to about that.
Cool. Okay. Thank you very much, Tash, for this update.
Thank you very much for sharing this story, Annie. It's really important, and we're really backing members in there, and hope we can report a success down the track, or, you know, some kind of resolution for everybody.
Yeah, thank you.